Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode to our tech podcast by Bosch Rexroth. My name is Robert Weber, and my guest today is Mark Krieg. Mark, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, nice to meet you.
We want to talk about connected hydraulics, but before we start talking about hydraulics, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Yes, I'm head of the development department in the business unit Industrial Hydraulics of Bosch Rexroth and also part of our board.
Why you chose hydraulics?
First, I was always interested in mechanical engineering. And after my studies, I joined production technology. And out of production technology, and after the PhD there, I started with one of our competitors. Mm-hmm. And later, I joined Rexroth as market and technology leader. And now I'm with the business unit for almost 6 years, and I love it.
But do hydraulics applications have a future? In my opinion, there's a lack of sex appeal in these applications.
First, yes, it has a future, and we will talk about that later.
And you have second, to convince me.
I will, no doubt. And second, yes, the reputation of hydraulics is not the best one. Hydraulics is partly linked with oily, greasy, old school technologies that are hidden in a basement somewhere, and you have to use it, but nobody likes it. But that's not the state
like
of
it.
The art. I do. And I'm also working on convincing people like you to show the sexiness and the sex appeal of hydraulic applications, because we have many of them. And it's not like a greasy, oily application that needs to be hidden somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's something that looks good. You have unbeatable technology advantages, especially if you combine it with electromechanics, and you have such a wide range of future-proof applications, which is really unbelievable. But we need to convince people.
Yeah, please convince me. What are the main advantages?
Okay. Talking about hydraulics, the main advantage is linear actuation. Yeah, you have the hydraulic cylinders, and there's no better way to generate linear movement. Of course, you have also pneumatics for low power applications and electromechanics. But as soon as you have higher power demands on linear actuation, and our world is linear, you need hydraulics. There's no better technology for that.
What else?
Robustness, long lifetime. We have
robustness because it's so old. It's industrial grade or what?
It's well designed. It's very robust materials. Mm-hmm. And we have applications. We get products back from the market with 30 years plus lifetime, and it's still working. Some people might call it over-engineer. I call it
industrial
special customer, exactly, customer value by robustness and long lifetime.
What else? A third advantage that should convince me.
Let me take power distribution. That means you have a central hydraulic power unit generating flow, and the flow and the linked power to hydraulic power to the flow, you can distribute via tubes or via hoses to several actuators. It could be linear actuators or rotary actuators, and you don't need for every actuation a single electric motor. You have a big power unit, and then you can distribute the power in a very good way. So it means
which
flexible.
Application do I need this?
A very good example is construction equipment, where you have a central power unit, and then you have several users, like the cylinders or rotary actuators on the machine, like a wheel loader, for instance, or an excavator on the mobile market. But also for my home turf industrial application, you need this power distribution if you have a plastic injection molding. There's also a single pump motor system included, and then you have several actuators for the clamping function, for the injection function, for instance, and it's not really necessary or mandatory to have an electric motor in each of these actuators.
So you mentioned mobile hydraulics and industry hydraulics. So the market share is 50-50 or?
How to estimate? For our best guess or best estimation is really that it's round about 50-50 overall market size, we estimate round about 30 billion.
30 billion?
30 billion. Okay. Well, and it's growing. So some people...
It's growing.
It's growing, yes. Some people think shrinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, I thought it's shrinking.
But it's not. It's really not. So
because the electric guys are coming, yeah?
They do come, but we also come together with them.
How? How do you do that?
You know, I mentioned some of the hydraulic advantages. Yeah. On the other side, also electronics have advantages like controllability, like ease of use, like simple commissioning and such things. And what we do in the future to make hydraulics also future-proof is that we combine hydraulics with electromechanics. And here we come to the main title of the podcast. That's connected hydraulic. In a sense, Bosch Rexroth understands it.
But how difficult is it to combine both worlds?
Of course, you need some R&D and some application knowledge to do that.
Yeah.
And you need to do that. But on the other hand, it is more a natural combination. So you combine the advantages of two worlds and have an electric motor, the hydraulic pump, and electric controller to do the control function. So both technologies really fit together. And that's a growing future.
And you said the market is growing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it growing in this hybrid solution? Or is it only hydraulic, classical, traditional?
Hard to differentiate. I would say both. There are classical applications that are growing, but due to this connected hydraulic approaches, we are also finding every day new hydraulic applications which have not been in our portfolio before.
Because you go this hybrid way, or because there are new markets for hydraulic?
One forces the other. You have technology push and or market pull. We have new markets.
Yeah.
Let's say wind power is growing, electric vehicles is growing, hydrogen is growing. And for instance, in wind, we do hydraulic pitch control. You know, in the windmill, you need to control the angle of the bladders. Yep. So that's a pitch control. We need hydraulic lubrication of the gearboxes. The whole turret needs to be turned in a hydraulic way. So there's a lot of hydraulics in a windmill.
You mentioned mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Where's there the application?
In an electric vehicle, there's almost no hydraulics.
Sure.
But to produce the electric vehicles, a lot of hydraulic technologies are used for lightweight material production, like we need die casting, we need metal sheet deep drawing to really generate lightweight electric vehicles and take die casting. It is an hydraulic domain where in the die casting machines, you also utilize the hydraulic advantages like the robustness, like the power density, like the linear movements to do the clamping function. For instance, or here the die casting shot unit where the liquid metal is shot into the die, and this is done in a hydraulic way.
And you mentioned hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of application do you see in hydrogen?
Also several hydraulic possibilities. One is, of course, hydrogen compression.
Okay.
This is also done with hydraulic compressors, but also for green hydrogen in windmill or in storage of hydrogen in subsea applications, for instance, you could also use hydraulic valve actuators
and
hydraulic functions.
So you mentioned you could also use, or you will use, because is there an alternative?
At the end, it is always a technology competition, and the best technology will win. And this is in many cases hydraulics, if you know how to use it. Mm-hmm. A hydraulic will not rule the world and replace everything, but it will definitely has its part in these future applications like hydrogen, wind, electric vehicles, you name it. And there are several applications, yes.
But we need to talk about energy efficiency. We need to talk a little bit about sound of hydraulic components, and we need to talk about leakage.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some things you need to improve on your hydraulic system, right?
Of course, hydraulics, like other technologies, has challenges. And,
yes.
And you named it. One thing is energy efficiency.
What is a challenge?
It is actually that you have another energy transfer step, if you want to say it, to say it like that. So you have the electric motor,
yes,
and the movement is transferred into hydraulic energy, so into a hydraulic flow and pressure. Yep. And this hydraulic flow and pressure is then transferred into mechanical movement again. So you have an extra transformation step, and each and every transformation goes along with some losses.
Sure.
And this is one of the potential advantages, and we invest a lot of our R&D capacity into energy efficient applications because you can do a lot.
What can you do?
You can do a lot with the system layout, and the most prominent example is the transfer from valve-controlled actuation to pump-controlled actuation. In a valve control, you control the hydraulic volume flow by reducing the diameter, the diameter of the flow path. And that is, of course, not very energy efficient.
Sure.
What we use much more is pump-controlled actuation, where you turn the hydraulic pump by the means of a frequency-controlled electric motor only with that speed that the hydraulic flow is generated what's needed in the application. So more flow, higher speed, and less flow, lower speed, and the lower speed needs less energy, and sometimes you can even stop the whole system, like in your car, where you have a start-stop system. It's also for energy efficiency reasons. That's that example.
Let's talk about sound emissions. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? I never thought about that, and you told me in our briefing, that's a big topic for the industrial sector.
Yes. In hydraulics, you have moving parts.
Sure.
And
in every.
Especially I would say in hydraulics, in hydrostatics, you have chambers and the chamber in the pump, and the chambers open and close, so you get pulsation.
Yes.
And these pulsations force the mechanical parts to vibrate, to move, and these vibrations will also transfer into the air, and you hear then basically such a vibration with your ears.
Yes.
And this is
uncomfortable.
This is not necessarily, also music is a kind of air vibration and not really uncomfortable, but it's a good point. What we try to do is, besides the reduction, like active reduction due to design, we design our systems in a way that you have less vibrations and less sound emission. And if that's not enough, there's also secondary measures like sound insulation. Of course, the first one is a more cost-efficient version. And a third pillar, a quite new one, is that we also do special sound design that we make the frequency nicer. It sounds a little strange, but there are some...
I never thought that this is a problem in hydraulic.
It's not only a problem in hydraulics. It's in electric vehicles, it's in heat pumps where the noise discussion is much more prominent. Yeah. But the same principles we apply also in hydraulics, that we make the sound more comfortable. Better frequencies, and that it's not high frequency, creaking kind of noise, but more nicer and easier to
live with. Is it a pain by your customer?
Partly, yes. Yeah, there are some applications where they say we don't want hydraulics because it's too noisy. And then we convince them, hey, there are a lot of activities to reduce the sound. And it's also possible, if you look in a new hydraulic power unit, you can have it basically in your living room. The sound power or sound pressure values that comes from such a power unit, that looks very nice too. So you can put it in your living room, but sound-wise, it is possible.
Do you have it in your living room?
Part of. not really, but it's more an example that you come to sound pressure levels that would make it possible to have it in your living room or in office spaces. It's just a matter of the threshold. And there are several research areas undertaken there, like this active or secondary controls, but it's everything is possible there.
The third challenge.
And it's leakage. So it's also one of the...
Is this the most important?
I wouldn't say which of these three points is most important. At the moment, I would say people talk a lot about energy efficiency.
Sure.
But if a leakage occurs, it is a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Or it could become a catastrophe. So oil we need in the system. It's a design element. It's not only due to the hydraulic power transfer. It's also due to cooling, due to lubrication, due to particle transport. So there will always be fluid involved. And leakage needs to be avoided. But due to sealing technologies that you really have leakage, it does not happen very often. But of course, if you have a hazard or somebody broke a hose or whatever, we need to make sure that such a hazard does not end in a catastrophe. This is why we also do research and development into alternative fluids.
Okay.
Majority of hydraulic fluids are mineral oil-based. Yeah. So you have a lot of advantages by mineral oil-based fluids, but it's a fossil fuel.
Sure.
So it is not only linked to advantages. On the one hand, it is burnable, so it's not a fire-resistant fluid. And if you have applications like metallurgy or die casting,
you don't want to have
you have liquid metal on the one hand and then inflammable fluid on the other, that's not a good idea. Parts of the world, that's also restricted by law. And here we use water-based, for instance, or ester-based fluids that are not inflammable.
Okay.
That was one example.
And for food and beverage, you need also,
exactly. Yep. Another example is biodegradable fluids. There are also applications where biodegradable fluid is a must. One nice example that I like is fish finger presses, also not the most common application.
Absolutely.
But it's a press where hydraulic advantages are used, so why not?
Yeah.
And here in such applications, biodegradable or food proof fluid is mandatory, and this is also what we develop together with our partners and make sure that also the components are compatible with these biodegradable fluids. But there are other examples.
I want to add a fourth challenge. I think digitalization is also a challenge for the hydraulics, right?
Yes, it's a challenge, but I would rather call it an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
To differentiate ourselves by pure hardware or pure mechanics and electronics is more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to use digitalization or also software-based technology to differentiate ourselves. And we do that by improving our internal efficiency, by more efficient manufacturing processes, but also the efficiency at our customers. Faster design, faster time to market, better commissioning, optimizing production or reducing, reducing.
We have an own episode on that, I think.
Yeah. Reducing unplanned downtime. It is so many possibilities with the digitalization that it's really worth to have a separate episode, and you should tune in and listen to that. But in short, the digitalization offers opportunity to have additional customer value and to improve our efficiency. So it's not a challenge, it's an opportunity for us, and we are working on that and really investing a lot of our R&D capacity into digitalization.
At the end, I have one more question, because you mentioned all these classical, traditional approaches, applications, and then you mentioned this new applications, electric vehicles, hydrogen, windmills. How difficult is it to transfer your hydraulic domain-specific knowledge from these traditional applications to new applications?
I would say you need market and application know-how
to
do that. And this is also one of the strengths of Rexrose, I would say, besides the very good components that we also know how to apply them and also how the market's working. But I would say with the right competencies and technologies, you can do such a transfer. And it is both in the classical world with the presses and injection molding or tunnel boring machines, but also in the new and sustainable applications like hydrogen, windmills, alternative energies, up to, I would like to end with one example, that we even do hydraulic cooling for quantum computers. That's really strange.
Whoa.
But it's one of the new applications that might pop up. And here also,
but this is very difficult. You have no domain-specific knowledge on this.
Not on the computers as such, but on the cooling side. It's a kind of pumping helium And by pumping gases, we have experiences, and there's also the transfer of knowledge, as you mentioned, with our application guys that are able to do such thoughts. Hey, we do compressing on the one hand. Yeah. Why not doing on the other hand? And basically, believe it or not, also the cooling devices for quantum computers are partly equipped with industrial hydraulic components.
Mark, you convinced me.
Really?
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to talk to you about hydraulics, connected hydraulics. No. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.